Hello, here's your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday, October 18th. November election ballots are being mailed to voters across Colorado this week. And as Benta Berkland reports, there's no statewide ballot question this year.
Local issues, including tax and education questions, will dominate the off-year election. Voting will take place in all but six counties. Colorado Secretary of State Wayne Williams says many counties have adopted new equipment that allows the county to verify electronic votes after an election.
So that's an important security issue, particularly when you look at concerns of hacking or other issues.
Williams expects low voter turnout compared to presidential election years, which have the highest. Next year is the governor's race. Williams says that's the second busiest election. I'm Benta Berkland.
Last week on the KVNF regional newscast, we reported on the Bureau of Land Management's approval of the Bull Mountain Oil and Gas Development Project. The BLM gave final approval for SG Interests to move forward with the project, which will include up to 146 wells. The so-called Bull Mountain site is about 30 miles northeast of Paonia in the North Fork Valley, south of McClure Pass. The area is bisected by Colorado Highway 133 and could eventually cover some 20,000 acres. It involves 440 acres of BLM land, with the rest being private, and it includes nearly 13,000 acres of federal minerals. The remaining minerals are privately owned. The approved plan includes four wastewater injection wells, up to 33 well pads, as well as new roads, pipelines, and compressor stations. In our continuing coverage, we'll next hear from Shannon Borders, the Public Information Officer for the BLM Southwest Colorado. She spoke with KVNF News to provide specific details about the BLM's decision. Here is part one of that interview. I guess my first question is, what is the implementation and how is that going to work? Like, the decision had, at this point, just called for one well to be developed. Is that correct?
One application for permit to drill was approved with the record of decision. So that means that so far we've heard from SG Interests, and they submitted a 48-hour notice, and they have started working on that, the associated well pad with that decision.
And I guess I did have one follow-up. Are there any more appeals? I heard something about the state director of the BLM could still have an appeal to be considered, or would you say at this point the process is going to happen and the project is moving forward?
As I indicated earlier, the operator is starting to work on the pad that was initiated as a part of the project.
A lot of people feel like their opinions didn't really matter when they look at the number of opinions that were submitted against the proposal compared to the ones that were submitted in favor of it. People just look at that and think, wow, there's so many more people who are against it. It just seems like the BLM didn't listen to us at all. I just wonder how you would respond to that.
So when the BLM receives comments on a project from the public, we review every one of those comments. But it's important to note that those comments are looked at from a substantive value. So, for instance, if we receive 25 comments that say, I love trees, and we receive 50 comments that say, I hate trees, we analyze that as two comments, because in the process, there's no point in giving you an explanation of why that comment was important to the project or not 50 or 25 times. So it's really not a process. It's not a process where it's a voting process, as if you will. Rather, it's a look at the comment and the value that it adds to the project.
Are you saying it's kind of a weighted process? Like, even if there might be, say, 500 comments for and then 5,000 comments against, that's still kind of a one-to-one in your mind. That's one comment against and one for. Is that how you're saying it works?
It's one comment about being for and one comment against. So we look at the value of the comment as it relates to the project. So like I said, it's not a voting process. Rather, it's an analytical process where we determine how that comment affects the project.
And stay tuned to tomorrow's KVNF regional newscast for part two of the interview with Shannon Borders. Colorado families who earn too much for tax credits or subsidies could face a 33% increase in health insurance premiums in 2018. Eric Galatis has the story.
Consumer advocates warn that President Trump's decision to stop payments to health insurance companies will hit middle-class families the hardest through increased premiums and could end up unraveling the marketplaces established by the Affordable Care Act for people who don't get insurance through their jobs. Adam Fox with the Colorado Consumer Health Initiative believes it's part of an overall pattern to sabotage former President Barack Obama's signature legislation.
So while Trump has said he will let Obamacare fail, he is not letting it fail. He is actively creating conditions to bring about its failure. And consumers are going to be hurt because of it.
Fox explains that even without federal reimbursements, insurance companies are still required to provide cost-sharing reductions, which make access to care possible for low-income people by lowering deductibles and copays. He says the only way insurers can make up for Trump's canceled check is to pass those costs on to other consumers. Trump claims the move and his decision to allow policies that don't meet ACA standards will give more people affordable care at no cost to the federal government. Fox predicts Colorado will be hit harder than many states because a higher percentage of residents earn too much to qualify for help with their premiums. And he says nearly 35% of Coloradans in the individual market could see their insurance rates increase by one-third next year. He adds the federal government stands to lose a lot more in lost tax revenue than the ACA's annual $7 billion cost-sharing reductions.
It'll actually increase the federal deficit. Over the next 10 years, we expect the federal government to pay an additional almost $200 billion for advanced premium tax credits than they would have otherwise.
Fox notes that Congress can still preempt Trump's decision. A bipartisan effort led by Tennessee GOP Senator Lamar Alexander and Senator Patty Murray, a Democrat from Washington State, to reinstate the cost-sharing reductions could be introduced as early as this week. This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Wednesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks for listening.